Well, today I would like to focus on four passages of Scripture in a message that I've entitled The Power of Thankfulness. Before I read the passages, this past week most of us celebrated Thanksgiving, and it is a holiday that can be rife with blessing or cursing depending on your situation. But one of the things I hope that it gives us is a reminder to be thankful to the one who created us and redeemed us. There are many things that the Lilly family has to be thankful for. I recently received Michaela's pathology report back. She had some surgery on her toe. The doctor was worried that it might be something bad. It turns out to be nothing bad at all. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful just that we were able to gather together under one roof and be together as a family. And each one of us remembers that we were lost without our Savior. And that above all else, we can remember to be thankful for. So the passages today are in Romans verses 6, or chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, Romans 7, 24 and 25. Then we'll be in Ephesians for a verse, and then Philippians and Colossians. I'd like to read these passages and then discuss them. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 say this: "But God be thanked, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Paul goes on to write in Romans 7, verses 24 and 25, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul writes to the Ephesian believers, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." And then in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then the last verses we will cover, Colossians 3, 15 to 16. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." These passages are rich in meaning on many, many levels. Each one is a profound treasury of truth and comfort. But these also have one recurring connection, and it mentions to us and reminds us about the power of thankfulness. We have many reasons to thank God. He is our Creator. Part of our acknowledgement of that requires us to understand who He is from His Word. We can thank Him because that all-powerful Creator loves us. Imagine that. He loves us. We can be thankful because He has for us a future and a hope in a world that is obviously losing hope in the future. But fundamentally, for us as Christians, we can thank God for our salvation first and foremost, because that bequeaths to us eternal life. This life is not all there is. This world is not our home. Through faith in Christ, we have citizenship in heaven. We are sojourners here, visitors. And we can be thankful above all that He saved us. For it is being saved from eternal hell by the death of Christ on the cross, and our faith in that substitutionary atoning sacrifice, that gives meaning and purpose and joy in our lives, no matter what else is going on. It gives meaning and purpose and joy in our lives and provides us with eternal life. We will not die. Yes, our bodies may pass. Yes, we may suffer in this world. But we are guaranteed through Christ eternal life. But I've noticed something else about the thankfulness we are reminded of in these scriptures. Thankfulness has the power to change us and to keep us changed. Our sanctification, our being transformed into the image of God's Son, into His character, into His ethics, to His divine morality, and ultimately into His glory, which He will share with us, is facilitated by our thankfulness. Thankfulness is the engine of the vehicle God has ordained for us in our journey from this life into the next. Thankfulness. So my goal today is to examine that transformative power, to understand what God intends for us in exhorting us, commanding us, really, to be thankful. Not for His good, but for ours. God needs nothing from us, but He gives us the privilege of praise and worship and adoration of Him for our good and for His glory. And for us to be thankful is a benefit to us, and He knows that. So He not only exhorts us through His word, but commands us through His word to be thankful. And that in turn will lead us into more of the transformation into the image of His Son. And that, in turn, will lead us into ever greater thankfulness, which will advance us even further on that journey of sanctification, which will provide even greater motivation for thankfulness, which will, in turn, facilitate our transformation more and more, making us more and more thankful. It is an ever upward spiral of joy that only the children of God by faith can possess. So let's begin. Romans 6, 17 and 18. Paul writes again, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered," God's word. "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." We are slaves of either sin or righteousness. Our natural man, our natural selves, apart from Christ, we are born into the slavery of sin. We are born chained to our sinful nature. But through His word, through following His word, through believing His word, we are set free from sin and become slaves of righteousness. Paul goes on to say in chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, when he thinks of his own sinfulness, when he is faced with who he was before he knew his Savior, he says this, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." The Apostle Paul, the foremost evangelist and church planter of the first century, the one who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, the one who survived being shipwrecked and beaten and stoned, the one who planted the foundation of Christianity in the known world during the first century, that man taught, he says, directly by Christ in the deserts of Arabia. That man says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" He recognized who he was without Christ, who we all are without our Savior. We are doomed Yet God saved us. There is no hope for us. Yet Christ gives us hope that is irrevocable. That's a reason to be thankful. So this pair of passages reminds us again of our most fundamental reason to thank God. Delivery from both the power of sin and the punishment of sin. We were, as I said, slaves of sin, wretched members of the fallen human race, imprisoned inescapably in a body doomed for eternal punishment, helpless and hopeless, and most of us in denial of our eternally fatal condition. I don't know about you, but before I became a Christian, I just thought I was fine. If I thought about the future beyond my own life at all, I figured, well, it'll be okay. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. The truth was that I was under a sentence of death, and not just physical death, but the death described in the Bible. That death that is the separation of our soul from all that is good, all that is light, all that is love, all that we take for granted perhaps in this life. But that death was separation from God in utter, complete torment, outer darkness, where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. Whatever hell is, whatever unthinkable torment takes place there, we're saved from that. We are delivered from the power and the punishment of sin. This was true even as children. And as children, with each passing year, we confirmed our deprived and depraved state. As children, we grew and practiced sin. I know that about myself. I've raised children. I saw them grow. I understood by watching them and studying them and loving them and nurturing them that they were born sinners. I did not have to teach them how to sin. They knew. They knew how to lie. They knew how to be selfish. They knew how to be disobedient. It was interesting. It was, according to God's word, we are sinners, and we sin because we are sinners. And without Christ, as we grew old, as we became, I was 40 by the time I was saved. I had 40 years to practice sin. I became extremely good at it. And as I practiced it, my awareness of it lessened, and I became cauterized to sin, desensitized to it. And I thought, delusionally, that, like I said, I was just fine. But then, thank God, His Son made Himself known to me. He opened my eyes to who I was and where I was headed. Thank God that through His grace and mercy and love toward me, He showed me Himself. And in showing me Him, I saw who I was. And like Peter, at least in my spirit, I fell on my face and said, "Oh Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And like He did to so many others in Scripture who recognized their sinfulness, He stood them up and said, "Fear not, I am with you." That's our Savior. That's our God. That's who we are to be thankful for and to. So as slaves, we serve the law of sin, which above all else, above all the pain and destruction to ourselves and others in this life, entrapped us on that broad road to destruction. We were the walking dead, inevitably doomed. But Paul writes, "But God be thanked, though we were slaves of sin, we became slaves of righteousness." We were delivered from the body of death, not through anything we did, not through anything that we are, But through His sheer grace and mercy, He delivered us. And He offers that salvation to every human being. All we need to do is accept, put apart, and put aside our pride long enough to recognize we need a Savior. But God be thanked. Though we were slaves of sin, we became slaves of righteousness. We were delivered into the kingdom of light and life and love from the kingdom of death, which was our birthplace. And the undeniable compulsion to sin was replaced by a God-given desire to do what is right. And we were bestowed the power not to sin. Up until that time, that was not possible. We were sinners through and through. But through His grace and mercy, through our belief in His Son, He gave us the power not to sin. Even our young people raised in Christian households, you all who come here, coming from believing households, even you have experienced the war between the old and the new natures if you are saved. You know what you think inside. You know the impulses of your heart. You know your thoughts. And there's a war on between the flesh and the spirit, between the world and God. It is a battle waged every day in our deepest parts, in our secret thoughts, in our darkest impulses. But it is a battle, and God loves us through that battle. God understands we are weak. As I read in Psalm 103, we are dust. We have nothing. What good that is in us is all from Him. And He loves us so much that He gave His Son that we could become transformed into the image of His Son and live forever. And that battle itself is a cause for thankfulness. It's a cause for gratitude. You may not know this, but the unsaved barely struggle in this regard. And the older and more practiced they become in their lives apart from Christ, the more practiced they become in the law of sin, and the less is the struggle to do right. To be a slave of righteousness, even in the midst of battle, is infinitely better than being a slave of sin. And for that, we should be thankful. For the compulsion to do right actually sets us free. We are to listen to the urging and the voice of the Holy Spirit within us, that gentle, small voice within, convicting us, not condemning us, for there is now no condemnation to those who believe in Christ, but convicting us, saying gently, like a loving father, walk this way, my son, my daughter. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Walk this way, in the way that I have shown you, in the way that leads to light and life and love. That is within us. And that is who we have been given. The compulsion to listen, to do right, sets us free. But God be thanked that we now have the freedom not to sin. So we should therefore thank God all the more for delivering us from death. And as I mentioned, only the sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ are truly alive, truly free, have real hope, and have real profound meaning in their lives. No one else, nothing else but our God can provide the goodness to us. This goodness that saves us. So we thank God. And in doing so, we understand the depths of what He has done through His Word. That's why it's so important to immerse ourselves in His Word. We understand what He has done. And we love Him all the more. And desire to obey Him all the more. Being increasingly, day by day, sanctified, transformed into the image of His Son. And it's something that He does in us. And the more we let him do that, the more effective that transformation is, and the freer we become. Now, we can resist. We can quench the Holy Spirit within us. And in doing so, we are not only at war within ourselves, but we are at war with God. But he desires our surrender. Not to vanquish us, not to conquer us, but to set us free. So those are the fundamental reasons for being thankful. Salvation and freedom. But there's more. Ephesians 5, verse 4. Paul writes to the church, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting." Those things should not be part of our lives as Christians. So neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. You see, thankfulness has power to change us, to make us different. That's why God commands us to be thankful. Again, he doesn't need it from us. He knows we need to be that way. Why? Well, it enables us to replace sinful behavior with righteous behavior. To renew us from the inside out, from that deepest, darkest, most secret stronghold of our sin. Bringing us, all parts of us, into the light. Look at some of the details that Paul goes through here. He says, neither filthiness. Now, filthiness, pretty clear-cut word. It means the same thing in ancient Greek as it does to us today. Those things which defile, which are against what is right and good. Filthiness. It replaces filthiness. It wipes away foolish talking. The tongue, the human ability to communicate, James says in the New Testament, is the cause of the greatest sins. Words mean something, and we are given the facility to use our tongues, and the natural use of the tongue is for evil. Foolish talking, hurting someone by what we say, saying things which glorify evil and condemn God and righteousness. We, with our tongues, are lighting a fire, James says, that leads to hell. But God gives us the power to restrain our tongue. In fact, in James it says, you want to be truly religious? A truly religious person is someone who can control what they say, whose words are salt and light, who thinks of Christ and lets Christ speak through them. That is the hallmark of a faithful believer. Coarse jesting is one of the other things that are eliminated in our lives. That which glorifies and holds in, glorifies sin and holds the opposite up for adoration, for praise. Coarse jesting. That which takes those things that God has provided for us, for our pleasure and for our good, and demeans them. Turns them into something that is distasteful to God. Coarse jesting. That which uses our words to vilify and defile the purest things about those attributes of life in this world under God that give us pleasure or satisfaction. All of those things, filthiness and foolish talking and coarse jesting, are replaced by something beautiful, something sweetly reasonable, something that is an integral part of the essential nature of Christ himself. Thankfulness. Thankfulness can help us wipe those things away from our lives. Christ himself thanked God repeatedly in his earthly ministry. He thanked God for everything that occurred. He thanked God even in the midst of his trials, in the midst of his torture and crucifixion. He thanked God for loving the world so much that he gave his Son to die for our sins. We, when we are thankful, become something different. It's an obligation, but it's also a joy and a privilege to be thankful. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And Colossians 3, 15 and 16. These are a pair of passages that really go together and can reinforce something in our minds and in our hearts that is very important to remember. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let a request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then in Colossians, the same idea here. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." I don't know about you, but peace of mind, that ability to sit or be and relax without worry, without fretting, that's a rare gift. And that's a gift, I believe, that comes from God Himself. Before I became a Christian, that was something which I had to seek with gritted teeth. And it's amazing how you cannot strive to be peaceful. You cannot be anxious about not being anxious, because it's self-defeating. Freedom from fear and worry, that kind of relaxation, many people in the world today need a prescription for. Many, whether or not they have a prescription for it, seek other means to obtain that peace. But we are given it through thankfulness. We are given it because it is a grace and gift of God to be without anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. In other words, don't worry, but acknowledge God. Don't worry, don't fret. The future isn't in your hands. It's in His. You can't control what happens within the next minute, let alone the next day. It is up to God. Your very breath is in His hands. Whether you inhale or exhale successfully is up to Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. He is our source of life. And I tend to worry about things that I have no control over. I tend to worry about other people's actions toward me. How does that work? I can barely control my own actions, let alone other people's actions toward me. I worry about things in the future. You know what that does? It takes away my present. It makes me not see what I have to be thankful for in the moment. We need that peace of God which surpasses all understanding, especially that unassailable tranquility in the face of trials, in the face of loss, in the face of pain. And that gift of God, that peace, it surpasses all understanding. And that's what the world around us looks at and sees and hopefully wonders, what do they have? What do they know that we don't know? When I first became a Christian, we were mentored by a couple. I'll never forget them. They challenged me as a man, the man did. He challenged me to memorize scripture. I was frankly resentful, and I didn't want to listen, but there was something, some urging. I know it was the Lord, but I didn't know it then. I was a new Christian. He said, memorize. You know why? You know why I did that? Because he looked at me for 5 minutes and knew I had a thick head. And he knew that for me to be transformed into the image of God's Son, that I had to imbibe his word so deeply that it had to become part of me. And I grit my teeth and with a little bit of anger, I memorized. And as I memorized, and he said, if you do it, I'll do it. Yes. All right, a race. I understand a race. I'll do that. So in memorizing Scripture, in understanding it, in following his leadership in that regard, I started to look at him even more. Well, that what an example he and his wife were. And then what happened is she was diagnosed with cancer. And she was ultimately to die of that cancer. But during that period of her treatment, during that trial that they were going through, I looked at them intensely. I wanted to know, was their faith real? Was their faith and the faith that I thought I had, would it see them through this thing? And I put myself in his position as the husband with children and watching his wife suffer. Would I be able to survive that? Would it keep me in the faith? Would it drive me away? What would I do? People in the world, when faced with those conditions, they turn to all kinds of things. Not God. They might turn to prescription drugs or drinking. Some men actually leave their wives when they suffer in that regard. Some men collapse or give up. That couple? Even looking back today on what they went through and the example they showed, they shone the light of Christ. Not ostentatiously. They didn't do it in a way that drew attention to themselves. They did it in a way that gave glory to God. And I, being tactless, and really, when I look back at the things I asked and the things I said to them, I'm amazed that he didn't slug me. But I said, how do you do this? What are you thinking? You're seeing this happen to your wife. You're looking at the future. How do you deal with this? What is it like? I wanted him to give me what it felt like. I intruded on his heart. And graciously, with the love that came from Christ, and he just showed me Christ in his response to me, he said, you know, Bill, God gives me the grace I need. Moment by moment. I see my wife suffer. I see what she's going through. It doesn't look good. I look at my children and know that perhaps soon they will not have their mother. But Bill, I'm not alone. The Lord is with me. And he's with her. And I know he loves her much more than I ever could. And I asked her, amazing the lack of empathy I have. I asked her, essentially, what is it like to die? And knowing that you're going to die. You might not want to invite me to your bedside. Just saying. But there she was. And she said, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. What better testimony of the peace of God that passes all understanding? As a brand new Christian, I didn't understand it. But you know what it did? It gave me an example to follow. It gave me a path. And that path was rooted in God's word. Rooted in their faith and love of Christ. What a shining example. And that's what the world looks at with us. With that peace. And the root of that gift of peace is thankfulness. It is thankfulness. They thanked God that they were His. They thanked God that no matter what happened in this life, this was not the end. That all the suffering and all the pain that they would experience in this life was the closest thing they would ever get to hell. And that instead, they would have as their eternal destiny the glory of God in the presence of God through faith in His Son. And in contrast, the world, however blessed a person's life might be in this world, whatever riches, whatever ease, whatever comfort they might experience, that's the closest unbelievers will get to heaven. It doesn't matter. There's no comparison. Paul says it in Romans 8. That nothing can compare to the glory which shall be revealed in us. He looked at the trials and sufferings of this life as nothing, based in comparison to the eternal weight of glory which is ours through faith in Christ. So what have we learned? We've learned that the fundamental motivation for thankfulness to our God is that He sent His Son to save us from eternal punishment. If we forget everything else, we remember that. We're saved because of Christ. We're saved because God loved us while we were yet sinners. He sent to us His Son while we were at war with Him. And He brought us into life and light and love while we hated Him. That's love. That's something to always be thankful for. And sending His Son not only saves us from eternal punishment, but it gives us new life. Life that we can barely conceive of. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and mind cannot imagine what God has in store for those who love Him. He saved us. He gives us new life. He gives us hope and meaning and purpose. Our purpose is simple. We are to live our lives day by day, moment by moment, in thankfulness to glorify God for His good pleasure. And in living that way, we are a light. We are a witness. We aid in bringing others into salvation. That's our purpose. And when we're done with whatever mission He has for us, He'll take us home. We can be thankful because He rescued us from everlasting agony, torment that we can't even imagine, and brought us into the kingdom of His love. We've learned that we can be thankful, that thankfulness itself has power. Power to sanctify us, to transform us into the moral, ethical, and glorious nature of the Son of God Himself. Imagine that. We fallen, wretched human beings are given the means to change from the inside out. Not the kind of grit your teeth and I'm not going to eat this dessert kind of change. Not the kind of, well, I'm going to give up this or that kind of change, and then in moments of weakness or lack of sleep or some other turmoil, all of that goes out the window. No, the kind of change that sticks, that remains with us through thankfulness. We fallen, wretched human beings have that power within us, not just on the outside, but where we are darkest and where our sin is most deeply rooted. It doesn't happen overnight. Maybe for you all it does. It doesn't happen overnight. in my own experience. Certain things occurred when I was first saved that, frankly, were astonishing to me. My conversation changed. My desire to use profanity just left. The books that I read, the pictures that I watched, that changed. My worldview changed. And it was like I woke up a new person. And when that new person looked at the remnants of the old person, it was like, who was that man? That was me. And I looked at that man, and with eyes now of faith, and I said, thank God, I am no longer that man. And from that moment, and it's been a couple of decades now, from that moment, God has kept me from going back. God has kept me in His love and in His light. Not perfectly, please. Ask anyone who knows me. But the fundamental change inside me is there for good. So we're changed where we are darkest and where sin is mostly deeply rooted. We've learned that we, being thankful, has the power also not only to change us, but to provide us with peace. That glorious peace of mind. I think kids have it sometimes naturally. I remember having it as like a dopey 4-year-old or something. When I was just fed and the sun was out and it was warm and there was stuff to do and I didn't think about the future. That's the kind of peace I think God intends for us as adults. Not the dopey kind of peace, but the thankful kind of peace. The peace that passes all understanding. That peace of mind. That peace with God. That peace with our past. No matter what we are guilty of. Peace with the future. Because we know He's already there. He's already seen the future. He knows the future. He knows the end from the beginning. We walk where He knows we are walking. And it might be through the valley of the shadow of death. But it's the valley of the shadow of death. Not death itself. We've been delivered from the power of death. We have that peace with God, that peace of mind, that peace with our past, that peace with the future, that peace that passes all understanding. And that is perhaps our greatest witness in the world. And one of the most priceless bestowals of His grace. He gives us that peace. He encourages us, exhorts us to live in that peace. Don't fret. It only causes harm, Psalm 37 says. Don't fret. I am yours, and you are mine. We've learned that in understanding what He has done, that increases our thankfulness. And that in being thankful, we've learned that we appropriate the power of that thankfulness. It facilitates our transformation into the image of the glorious Son of God. Imagine that. We will be like Jesus more and more. And the more we see Jesus in His Word, the more we understand the beauty of that. And being transformed more and more into the image of His Son, we are given even more reason to be thankful, given more reason to allow God to transform us, to appropriate more and more of that transformative power in our lives. And that is that upward spiraling crescendo of joy and blessedness in this fallen world, and assurance of our eternal life to come. So one question remains. How do we do this? How do we appropriate this power, this transformative power of thankfulness? I end with two final verses that I believe gives us the answer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Paul writes, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For me. What is the will of God? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, for me. And in Ephesians 5, 19 to 20, we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no loopholes here. You focus on 1 Thessalonians, you say, well, okay, Lord, I understand. I will give thanks in everything, but not for everything. You see, it makes sense to me. I'll give thanks that I'm suffering. But while it's in the suffering, not for the suffering itself. And then I encounter Ephesians. And it says, no, Bill. Give thanks for the suffering. Give thanks for the pain. Give thanks for the loss. Give thanks in and for everything. How? Rejoicing always. How? By remembering who God is and what He has done through His Son. That is the only way. If you're as thick as I am, you must renew your mind each day with who you are and who God is. It's the only way. That's why it's a command and an exhortation to be thankful. And that's why we need to remember why we are thankful. And that comes from His Word. That's why it's so important to love and cherish His Word. That's why it's so important to study His Word. And the more we do, the more we are given cause to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, and for everything to give thanks. And in our fellowship with one another, we are to thank God for each other, because we encourage each other's faith. Looking around at each one of us here, you all are miracles. Shocking. You all are a work of God in the world. In the world that is dark and dying, you're saved. You're a minority of minorities. You are a child of God through faith in His Son. And in fellowship one with another, we are encouragements to one another. We're not to neglect the gathering of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Why? Because then we become vulnerable. We are like fuel in a fire, a campfire. Think of each one of us as logs that together, in the right relationship, burn brightly in the night. But if we roll off of the fire, if we neglect the gathering of ourselves together, our fire goes out. Our light darkens. We lose why we are to be thankful. If you're a member of the church, be thankful. If you know and talk to and are loved by another Christian, be thankful. We are miracles. We're more than mere mortals. Not through us. Not through anything we've done. Not through anything we are, but solely and only through God and through His Son Christ. So we are to consciously cultivate praise and joy and prayer, knowing who we are in Christ. Knowing we are no longer mere men, as Paul says in Corinthians, but children of God through faith in Christ. Remembering who we have in us
God dwells in us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there was the tabernacle. Yes, there was the temple. But we are living temples. God dwells in us. We need go nowhere to be with God. We are with God. He chose to indwell us with His Spirit. And Jesus said in John 14, the Father and the Son will also make their home with us. We are living, breathing, walking, talking temples of the Holy Spirit. He's with us. We are to be thankful for that. And that thankfulness leads to even more thankfulness, not only in everything, but for everything. And this is a supernatural work of the Spirit in our lives and in our hearts. You want to ask, where's the work of the Spirit in your life? That's when you're thankful. You want to ask, where are the miracles of God today? You're that miracle. You, each one of us who believe in His Son, we are His miracles. Our hearts. The hardest material known in the universe is the unredeemed human heart. God creates in us a new heart. And that in itself is yet another cause for thanks. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You and we praise You for Your Word. Oh, that we would be the children of light and love that You would have us be, that You sent Your Son to enable us to be, Father. And as we go out from here, Father, as we live our lives over the course of the next week, may we remember to be thankful. May we remember who You are and what You have done. May we remember Your Spirit within us, guiding us, directing us, not as a slave master, but as a loving, caring, all-powerful Father who desires our good, whose thoughts toward us are more than we can number, whose ways are higher than the heavens, who loved us so much that You sent Your Son to die for us so that we could be transformed into His image, paying the debt of our sin to give us eternal life. Father, be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.